Good evening and welcome along to The Score with myself, Mark Gallagher. It is actually the last Score programme of the year before we take a wee break for the winter. But as always, we have lots planned for the final episode of 2025. We'll be joined by a variety of guests, but we do hope to be able to bring you news of who Donegal will start the defence of their Anglo-Celt Cup in 2026 against by the end of the programme tonight. The draws for all four provincial championships next year has just gotten underway at Croke Park. So when I find out who will play whom, who, I will bring it to you right away. That draw has just commenced, but these things can often take a wee bit of time. So if the Ulster draw is not complete by the time the show is over, you'll be able to find out how it all goes over on our website at highlandradio.com. So as usual, we have a few guests joining us on the show tonight. We'll be speaking to Rory Kennedy, who is gearing up for the Killarney Historic Rally this weekend. Mickey McCann will look ahead to the Burt Hurlers trip to London on Saturday, and we'll be catching up with the ATU Freshers Gaelic football manager Ryan McHugh as they have progressed to their league final next week. Ryan will also give us his thoughts on that Ulster draw tonight as he gears up for another year with Donegal. But firstly tonight, we're going to start with the ATU's senior footballers. They came from behind to beat SETU Carlow 20 points to 212 yesterday evening to claim the Higher Education Division 2 title in Armagh. And I am happy to say joining us on the Score programme this evening is their manager, Maxi Curran. Maxi, thanks very much for joining us on the Score programme.
Yeah, no problem. You're welcome.
Maxi, we spoke last week and you knew you had a big challenge ahead of you in taking on SETU Carlow last night. You didn't have to do it the hard way, but what a way to win it. 2-9 to 9 points down at the break, but you came out and produced a storm in second half.
Yeah, look, it didn't look very, very good for us at halftime. We were completely outplayed. Carlow were a very, very big team. You know, we're not noted in Donegal for producing big, tall footballers, and we didn't have many on this team. And Carlow were huge, and they really dominated both kickouts. And you know, they got us for two goals as well. One was a long high ball in, and we just didn't deal with it. And so, yeah, look, it didn't look great. But look, we got in at halftime, and you know, changed a couple of things and circled the wagons, and we came out in a massive second half and won the second half 11-3. So, as you say, lovely way to win it. When you're coming from behind. But look, we had all the momentum, and to be fair to Carlow, it is a very hard thing to turn when it goes against you, to turn it back. So, but no, thankfully, we got over the line.
Conceding those two early goals must have been a big blow to your team, but I suppose you did really well to settle down and gain a bit of composure to get to halftime still in the game and then reset.
Yeah, look, they got the first goal very, very early. It's Tommy Gill. He's a senior player for Kildare. You know, a poor goal to concede. He was their defence, and he picked it off very easily. And you know, to be fair to Carlow, they didn't miss anything all night. The radar was on, whereas I think we made out 10 wides overall between the two halves. So we were disappointed from that aspect of it. But I suppose we have some, you know, experienced players. Your likes of your Owen Doherty from Neve Connell, which had a brilliant year, and you know, Luke McGlynn and Oisin Caulfield. They're all been knocking about county panels this last wee while, and numerous under 20 players as well. Max Campbell from last year's team and Damien McGowan and Golds would have played, you know, under 20s a couple of years ago under Sean Paul Barrett, and likewise Paddy McElwee and these kind of books. So look, we have a good sprinkling of players with a bit of county experience behind them. So you know, when you have players like that, you always have a chance, and as I say, we just got, you know, the bit between their teeth in the second half, and they started to, you know, go at Carlow and ask a few questions. You know, we're on the ball through the hand. We started to get a few scores, and thankfully they just kept coming. We've got enough of them.
What were the messages at halftime? Did you throw the original game plan out the window, or was it a case of resetting and kind of thinking, right, we conceded those two early goals, but we're still in the game, let's stick to the game plan? And I know you kicked a flurry of points in the second half. You said 11-3. What was the message at halftime?
Well, I think we set out to try and get to grips with the kickout situation, and we did that. We did that quite well. We started to get our own shards away, and we were very competitive on theirs. Max Campbell went back to wing back, and at half time was probably his natural position. Look, we tried to play him at half forward in the first half in order to be a target for our kicker. He's very good in the air, but you know, when he got a bit of freedom coming from the half back line, it definitely helped him, and you know, it gave us a wee bit of impetus. Himself and Owen Doherty started to get on the ball, started to run at Carlow, and that started open gaps. So look, there wasn't that much of a message. Maybe in a way, you know, there might have been a wee bit of complacency on our side going into the game. It's a thing you always speak about, but it's a thing that's very hard to guard against. You know, we'd won our four games up to that point, and you know, we probably would have led all through all four games. So, you probably might have had a wee bit of a, as a wee bit of a hang up about that going into it. And maybe the boys just didn't think Carlow was going to come with what they did come with in the first half. But, we probably, and we weren't ready for the physicality side of it. They were a very, very big team. So, look, once we got in half time and, 6 points in it, but we felt that, we have enough footballers in the field and we have enough scoring power that, we could chip away at the points and not to panic or not over obsessed with goals either. And look, our subs on the night did very well. Two Glenn Finn men came in, Daniel Marley and Orne O'Connor made a big difference when they came in. They definitely gave us a big lift when they came in at times. Orne won a very important free towards the end, and Daniel kicked one of the points. So look, I suppose in terms of things that happened at half time, we did make a couple of changes, but I think the boys just got their act together and realised that it was there for them, but they were going to have to go and earn it. It wasn't going to be handed to them, and I think that might have been the, unfortunately, it's happened no matter how you speak about it or try and guard against it. There's not very little you can do about it. You leave it to the boys in the field, and I think they just kind of got their act together at half time and came out and with a better mindset for the second half.
Yeah, they sure did, and I would say it would be an enjoyable enough bus trip home from Ballymacnab last night. So looking forward, it's the Trench Cup in the new year. Would a reunion with Carlow be on the cards at some stage in that competition?
Yeah, very much so. Look, it's there's I think there's maybe eight teams in that division, so they all kind of bounce off each other at different stages. So yeah, look, it probably isn't. Maybe all the teams we played in the league so far are probably prime candidates. We're going to have to play them all at some point, I'd say. Look, it's as I say, it's nice for the boys to have some of those fellas, have an All-Ireland medal this morning, what they didn't have, beforehand. And, they're not easy come by, and no matter what level it's at. But, look, it is an All-Ireland Colleges medal. And, look, that'll give them a big lift, and it gives us a great boost going into the championship, whatever way the championship goes. But, there's something for the boys to look forward to. And I think for us all, in terms of the college and the profile of the college, and, getting the name back up there, our freshers team are going well as well. They have a league final themselves on next week. So it'll be great now if we could get the double.
What does the winter look like now, Maxi, in terms of training and preparation for the Trench Cup in the new year?
It is a difficult time because, those fellas have played a mountain of football over the last, 8 or 9 months. Like, you hear stories of a lot of clubs back already, getting ready for 2026. So, those boys have gone through, even the club players through their league campaign, through their championship, and then into their under 21 competition, which 6 or 7 of them are still involved in. Max Campbell and David Monaghan have an under 21A final on this weekend coming. And, the Glenfinn boys, I mentioned 4 of them played. They have an under 21B semi final. A couple of Downing boys have an under 21C semi final this week. So, they have a huge amount of football going on. So I think a wee bit of freshness is probably one of the things we'll try and get them a wee bit of break. Look, we will train. We'll get a couple of games between now, in early January. But it'll be about, gathering up on occasions, but as I say, not trying to overburden them either. There will be a bit of training, but I think, as I say, they've played a wild lot, and you have boys knocking about the county panel at the minute and training squad. So, and then Donegal on the 20s will start off in the next few weeks. So there's a wild lot going on for them. And that makes it actually a very nice level of football for them, because it's probably the one competition and one team that they're definitely not overburdened with training. The ratio of games to training is probably 1-1, which is unheard of in the modern day. So that makes it nice for them as well, that they can come and and play the game and not worry too much about the training side of it, because the majority of them are getting enough elsewhere.
Lots of football. I suppose it's a busy period for the lads in terms of assignments and exams and that kind of thing. Do you find it a difficult balance to strike between the academic stuff and the football?
It is. You have fellas, we'd one or two that couldn't even travel last night because of, college commitments. And, sometimes they have, they have compulsory labs, et cetera, to attend, and they just can't get out of it. And, that's the nature of the game. We've had occasions in the past where we've had our championship matches land on days that the boys have exams after Christmas. So that is very tough on them. But look, you do your best to try and, most colleges are pretty workable at getting a time changed or a day changed here and there. And, in fairness to the lads, it's probably a great lesson for them later in life in terms of their time management and their work-life balance and trying to find a place for their football and their sport and alongside their studies. And, there's a discipline required in that as well, which, definitely stands to them. And, and look, at the same time, there's a wee bit of sacrifice for the boys as well, because they're having to add on another team, and this is probably a time of year when most of their peers are I mean, letting their hair down and going and enjoying themselves, you know, with college is one thing, another, and these boys are having to factor in a bit of football as well. So it is tough on them. It's not easy, and I say I think we ask an awful lot of our younger players these days. But look, at the same time, as I said, they've an All Ireland medal today, and a lot of them may never get the chance to do that again, or may never don't have one before this. So it's nice to have on the mantelpiece anyway.
It is surely. Finally, that one last night and the way you did it, that kind of thing could really galvanise the squad, and hopefully you can kick on now and give that trench cup a real go.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we'd Oran Doherty playing last night, for the first time, which is a massive lift us, and great for the boys, younger fellas around, to see a player of that calibre, playing. And as they mentioned, look, and Oisin Caulfield before, and those guys are those guys are terrific players to have around. So it does look at augurs well, and as I say, it gives everybody a real boost and something to look forward to heading down the line.
Thank you very much, Maxi. That is Maxi Curran, ATU Donegal Senior Team Manager. Well, it's time for a short break. When we come back, we'll be speaking to the ATU Freshers Manager, Ryan McHugh. You're very welcome back to the Score programme. Well, the ATU Donegal Freshers team have progressed to the final of the Division 2 Freshers League under the guidance of Donegal and Kilcare player Ryan McHugh. The Freshers will play at Queen's University in that final next Wednesday night. Highland's Oisin Kelly spoke to Ryan earlier today to look ahead to that contest and also get his thoughts on the draw for the Ulster Championship taking place tonight.
Listen, Ryan, I suppose at this stage of the year, when you're going to a league final, there's certainly a good buzz and a good feeling around the group and the college.
Yeah, there is, Oisin. The college is on a wee bit of a high at the minute, with the senior team winning the league last night, and thankfully with the freshers, we're through to a final next Wednesday. So listen, it's great. I can only touch on my side from the freshers, and to be fair, the lads have given me a lot this year. We're lucky, we're getting a lot of big numbers out. Michael at the start of the year asked me to see, would I like to get involved in the freshers, and said I would dip my toe into management a wee bit. So it's been great. Thankfully I've got a great management team, obviously with other commitments that I have. I can't be there every night, so I've got a great management team with me, Oisin as well, that are a huge help. I'm sort of manager by name, just the rest of the boys do most of the work for me. I have Brian Sweeney from Letterkenny, and me, Shane McNulty, me father Martin, and Pater Mogan's in helping me as well. So I've got a great team with me, and thankfully, as I said, everything's going great at the minute.
Well, I'm sure from a group point of view and from the players, like these are young men starting their journey in college, and to talk to you and get instruction from you and get your thoughts about football from the likes of you, Pater, and indeed your father, that's valuable stuff for these young men, Ryan.
Yeah, I would like to think it is anyway, Oisin. As I said, between us all, we've been through a lot of stuff in football, so we have, whether it's myself and Pater currently playing, or the likes of Dad and Dad who's been involved in managing before, and even the likes of Brian and Shane who's involved with the Donegal Academy, we definitely have a huge wealth of knowledge to do, but the players have been great, and not just the Donegal players. We're fortunate we've a lot of top Donegal players in the team, but there's also a lot of top players from outside the county as well, so we're getting a nice mixture at the minute. We're really looking forward to the final next Wednesday evening, so we are, and hopefully Queen's actually beat us. It was the only team that have beat us this year in the league group stages. So hopefully we can get one over them and get over the line next Wednesday.
Yep, two sides that know each other well, I'm sure. But just back to the semi-final on Monday night, 5-19 to 2-11 against DCU. Comprehensive win, a good performance, Ryan. Good way to go into the final, is it?
It was. It's a good way to go into it if you win it, Oisin. It's a bad way to go into it if you lose it. But no, listen, to be fair, the lads, they played some unbelievable football. So they did, especially the first half. It was nip and tuck for the first maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then a few of the lads really stepped up and took the game by the scruff of the neck, and some of the football they played, some of the goals that was scored. I think we got 3 goals in about 5 or 6 minutes, So that really probably, in hindsight, I know when you're in the middle of it, you're not thinking like that. But in hindsight, looking back, and it probably put the game to bed. So it did, So some of the footballers said that they played the first half, the hand passing and everything. For lads that you know, aren't used to playing with each other. You know, as I said, I touched on, there is a lot of Donegal players involved, but there's also other boys from outside the county, and they wouldn't be used to playing with each other and to put in the performance they did, not just the last night, but the other. We played UCD up in Dublin the week before that, and we've played Ulster University, and we've played Queens before in St Mary's, and they put in some great performances every single game, you know, so hopefully we can keep that going into the final next week.
And just like, I suppose, the senior Gaelic footballers, they've won their league title, which will give them huge confidence now going to the championship at the turn of the year in the Trench Cup. If you can do that, I thought it would be a similar situation going to the championship, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. That's the aim, you know. That was the target at the start of the year. You know, obviously, when you get involved in teams like East here, there's so many players that come out at the start. It takes a couple of weeks and to get to know players, know their best positions, you know how they like to play the game and different sort of stuff. So it took us a couple of weeks to get to know that. But thankfully, we're getting a settled group at the minute. As I said, we're getting huge numbers out. You know, the freshers team in ATU is only a new team the last number of years. You know, I think it's only 5 or 6 years old. So it's really a new competition that we're getting used to. So it is, but as I said, it's been great. You know, the lads have been given everything. We're getting 25, 26, 27 people out of training every night, you know, so it's great, as I said, and I can only thank the lads for that. You know, they're giving me everything, and that's all you can ask for as a coach or a manager.
Yeah. Listen, we'll just move away from the college and obviously go to the county front, Donegal. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the defeat in the All-Ireland is still very much raw, Ryan, but we're not going to focus on that. We're going to look ahead. You're committed again to 2026 with Donegal, heading into what is it, a 13th year. So I'm sure you feel that you still have lots and lots to offer here at county level in a Donegal jersey.
Well, you're making me feel old to say that I should use it. Yeah, but no, listen. Thankfully, I've had a great career with Donegal so far. You know, looking forward to 2026 again. Definitely, so I am. You know, touch wood that the body can go again and that I can stay injury free. Thankfully, throughout my career, I've been fortunate enough that I haven't had too many serious injuries. You know, that has kept me out for too long. So thankfully, I'm fit to go again. But yeah, listen. I think looking back on last year, you know, obviously. Hugely, hugely disappointment the way it finished. But I think there's a lot of stuff for us to build on, you know. And over the last 2 years, I suppose, since Jim's come in, we've been building and building and building. And I suppose that's going to be the aim going into 2026 again next year, is to try and keep building and to try and go that one step further. But it's a long, long way to get back to where we were last year. So, and it starts now with the McKenna Cup back in January. So it's something, you know, it's a cliche, but it's something that you look forward to. You know, as a player, training and everything is great and all, but you want to be playing games. So it's great to have the McKenna Cup back, that we'll get to play games now in early January.
As we know, the draw is taking place this evening as well for the Ulster Championship, for the provincial championships right across the country. Donegal are chasing 3 Anglo-Celt Cups in a row, Ryan. It's something that's never been done by a Donegal side before. Donegal are not in the preliminary round, but listen, when you go to the quarterfinals, a home draw would certainly be favourable if it happens this evening, Ryan.
It would, you know. I suppose that's really all you can hope for going into a draw. You know, you're at the lottery of the draw, but all you can really hope for is that you would get a home draw, and that you know, it gives you something to look forward in, and to have your home supporters. You know, you're not always that lucky, but yeah, listen, as you touched on the 3 in a row, it's something that we've gone up against, I suppose, you know, from our point of view, a couple of times. You know, I think when I came into the squad first, 2013, they were going for 3 in a row, and then we were going for 3 in a row again in 2020. So haven't gone over the line, as you touched on, no team has, you know, and it's definitely not an easy thing. You're talking some of the best teams to ever play the game are the only teams to achieve stuff like that, the great Armagh teams, the great Tyrone teams, and I think there's a Cavan team way back in the early time, you know, so it's not an easy fit, it's going to be a huge, huge task, but again, it's something you want to be doing as a football. You know, thankfully, getting to play in a Donegal jersey at the minute, you're competing at a very high level. You're competing in Division 1, so you are. You're competing for Ulster titles, and hopefully we can go on to compete for an Ireland title. So that's what you want to be doing as a footballer, is competing at the highest level. And thankfully, at the minute, we're getting the chance to do that.
Well, hopefully it works out. But in the meantime and in the immediate future, Ryan, you've got a league final as ATU manager to look forward to next week, taking on Queens. And all we can do is wish you the very best of luck in that game next week.
No problem.
And indeed what the future lies ahead with Donegal in 2020.
Thanks a million, Oisin. Thank you. Good man. Appreciate it.
That was ATU Donegal Freshers manager Ryan McHugh in conversation with Highlands' Oisin Kelly earlier today. Well, he's hoping for a home draw in the first round of Ulster next year. Still no word on that. Have it on here. They've done Connacht. They're in the middle of Leinster. So here's hoping Ulster is up next. After the break, we'll be looking ahead to the Burt Hurlers trip to London at the weekend. Welcome back to The Score, the final Score programme of the year, because we are taking a wee winter break. But plenty more to come on tonight's show, so let's get back to it. Having won the Ulster Junior Club Hurling Championship 2 weeks ago, the 2025 season is far from over for Burt. Edna McDermott's side are now gearing up for a trip across the water to face Thomas McCurtain's of London in the Twinning Cup final at Ruislip on Saturday afternoon. Burt claimed provincial glory a fortnight ago with a dramatic extra time win over Lavie of Derry, as late scores from Liam Mogg McKinney and Faker Gill turned the tables and sent the cup to Donegal. Well, I've been catching up with Donegal manager and Burt native Mickey McCann this week to look ahead to the game and also take a look to the inter-county scene in 2026. I started by asking Mickey about the dramatic ending in that Ulster final 2 weeks ago.
It was a brilliant occasion and a brilliant game, Mark, really exciting, and you know, it looked like it was going to go to penalties. Actually, looked like Lavie, I think, went one up with a minute to go in extra time, and you thought Burt were going to struggle to get back, but look, they showed great character and determination, you know, to get over the line, and two good scores at the end from Liam McKinney and Faker Gill, they won it for us. So exciting, it was great, you know, to see all the young ones in Burt, they're all really excited, and they bring the cup home, and great occasion for the Burt club, you know.
That point from Faker Gill at the end was a moment to remember for everybody involved. I mean, to be 5 points down at half time, down a man, and then to win it like that, I suppose you couldn't really have written a script any better.
No, look, I think the backs were to the wall. Look, it didn't look good, and we lost Ron McDermott, one of our best player at the time in the game. You know, he was very influential in the game, but you thought you lost him and you're 5 points down, you really were up against it. But look, they showed great character, and I think after that they're the better team right throughout. And you wouldn't have seen the spare man. Some brilliant individual performance. We all know Conor Gerton really, you know, stepped up. The defence is very good. And look, it was a great one for us to come back from the situation run, and they nip it at the end. It was very exciting and a great score for wee Faker, who came off the bench, you know.
That kind of never say die attitude, it's such a great asset to have in your team. I mean, down to 40 men for a lot of the game, but when you have a group of players that are determined not to be beaten, it can be a very powerful thing.
Yeah, you know, and Burt get the finals, Mark. They always seem to turn up, and any teams they want it, they're going to earn it, you know. And Burt, great tradition in finals, that they have a great record, you know, and it showed again that some of them lads just refused to be beat on the day. And to be fair to them, Mark, they were now at the semi-final stages of the county championship, you know, but Enda got the boys and says that they wanted to have a real go at this Ulster Junior, and they put their heads down, and it was well worth it now, you know, and they have an Ulster medal in their pocket. But great tradition there in finals, and great for the club to get another Ulster title.
So this week it is the Twinning Cup final against Thomas McCurtain's of London in Ruislip. I've always thought these Twinning Cup matches are a great thing to have at this time of the year. That'll be a great weekend in London, and I'm sure everybody involved is looking forward to it.
Yeah, they are. Look, maybe there's going to be a live stream coming to the clubhouse, maybe for the young ones too. So some lads will be going over, but I suppose the players just have to get things right. There's a lot of logistics, you know, from my own side, taking Donegal over. Like, you have to get the logistics side of things right. A lot of organising flights and buses over there, and definitely, you know, you have to look after the players, make sure they're right with their rating and travelling, and the times are right. So a lot of organising, Mark, on that end, but they're really looking forward to the game, you know, and I do think it's a game they could get a result if they turn up like they did in Derry that day, and that could put them in an Ulster semi-final, although they'll not be looking past Saturday, but I feel they're in with a real good chance, you know.
I was just about to say that should they get the job done on Sunday, they would have an All-Ireland semi-final to look forward to. That would be just absolutely massive for the club, wouldn't it?
It would, Mark, you know, and suppose every 3 years you do, if you can avoid the Leinster and Ulster or Munster champions, you know, they're very strong, but this year it's working out that it's the Connacht champions, it's actually Eastkeep and Sligo, so it's a game that would be 50-50 if Burt do get through, you know, and they would have a good chance. I'd say they need to get over this week, but look, an All-Ireland semi-final that's possibly within their reach, they won if they keep going the way they're going, you know. I think Ron McDermott was appealing last night, his suspension. I don't know how that went. He'd be a big plus to get him back for Saturday, but we'll have to sit tight to see how that went last night for him. But massive if they could get to an All-Ireland semi-final, the first time the club got to that part of the competition, you know. So, but we'll worry about Saturday first, Mark, and hopefully it'll be something to look forward to just before Christmas.
For sure. Turning the focus to Donegal next year, Mickey, you're obviously the manager once again. How have the preparations been going for a tilt at Division 3?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're only back this week, Mark. As you know, probably 80% of our panels from Unions and Setanta and Burt, and all three clubs are involved in the Ulster setup. You know, Unions have been out maybe out of the competition 3 weeks. Setanta are only put out last week of the senior championship, and Burt's still going, as we know. So we're back last night. To be fair, the Unions lads are all back on board. Setanta boys probably taking a couple of weeks break, you know, as well deserved. It's been a long season. But look, we're looking forward this year. I think we're in a good place with a few new additions, young lads coming on board, which I think there's a lot of potential in. And we're at that crusty ring level again, Mark, and we hopefully try to push on, maybe get a couple of more results in it this year. We had two last year, and it's a competition we really want to try at and see if we can get that level, you know, and I think we can. Just one mouth watering result we're away to Kerry this year, which is the first to head down that direction, you know. And look, it'll be exciting for us to go down and to Kerry after beating them last year and get another go at a team at that level, you know.
I think it's full steam ahead to Tyrone on the 25th of January, if that's right, away to Tyrone. A tricky enough start to the league campaign, but, I mean, you'll really be looking forward to getting back into the swing of things again.
Yes, and Tyrone, both of us were in Division 2 last year and both came down, so both teams will be looking to get back up into that. So, look, it's a big start. We're just telling the lads training, you know, it's one of them games where we're going to have to tag it off the mark early, and Tyrone will set themselves to try to get back to Division 2 too. So we had a good result over them last year, but that'll mean nothing coming on the 25th of January. So look, we'll get the hard work done now, Mark. It's that time of year where they're going to get the hard runs and the cold weather, which is tough, you know, but we'll get through it, and hopefully come January we're in a good place to go on Tyrone the 25th, you know.
Yeah, and just finally, that's the league, of course, but as you mentioned before, you'll obviously have a close eye on the Christy Ring Cup again. The first game is against Wicklow in April. You've also got Kerry, Derry, Meath and Roscommon to contend with. You have been making good progress in the past couple of years, and you'll be looking to build on from that again.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough competition, you know, and it's teams that would have beat Donegal easily through the years, you know, but we have shown that we can, Mark, get up to that level and beating the likes of Meath and Kerry and Wicklow over recent seasons, you know, and very close to Derry, who got to the final last year. Probably just, Mark, we're just going to try to get that more consistency in their performances where, you know, we're really good 1 week and we drop back down maybe the following week. So something we need to work on is just we can get to that level, but the consistency is not instant at the minute, and it's something we're going to have to put together this year, you know, get into that Christy Ring and get a good start in it. Hopefully take it down where you can maybe push to try to get the final if you can, you know.
That was Donegal hurling manager and Burt native Mickey McCann looking ahead to that big occasion for Burt on Saturday at 12:30 at Ruislip up against McCartans of London in the Twinning Cup final. Well, the other big game of the weekend from a Donegal point of view is the Under-21A Championship final. That's taking place on Sunday afternoon. Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne will be bringing us live commentary from that clash between Niamh Connell and Four Masters on Sunday. Throw in at Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon is at 2:00. Now, just before we take a quick break, another look at the provincial draws for next year. They've done Connacht, they've done Leinster, they're about to do Munster. So it looks like Ulster will be last up, but hopefully we'll squeeze that in before we go off air at 8:00. So it's time to go for a break, and when we return this time, we'll be taking a look at the Killarney Historic Rally taking place this Saturday. Welcome back to the final part of the programme, and it is time to turn the focus to rallying. Defending Killarney Historic Rally winners Donna Kelly and Rory Kennedy are hoping to repeat last year's triumph this Saturday in their BMW M3. Chris Ashmore has been speaking to Rory Kennedy to get his thoughts ahead of that famous event in the Kerry countryside.
Well, Rory, the old cliche, all roads are leading to Killarney this weekend, the Killarney Historic Stages Rally. And I suppose, first of all, when you look at the entry list, it really just shows how popular and how in what high esteem this event is held, because it's real quality right throughout.
I couldn't agree more, Chris. The Killarney Historic Rally is a great tradition and attracting, you know, very good entry from all the top drivers in Ireland and the UK and beyond. And this year's no exception. We're very lucky to be or to have won the rally last year, and I suppose we're back to defend the title, or do our best to defend the title anyway. And we're on with number one on the door, and tomorrow, Saturday morning, 8:30, first stage up Mall's Gap is a very daunting task for a lot of the drivers, but something that we relish and we're looking forward to.
Why do you think it has grown so much and the appeal is there? Is it because it's just that little bit different?
Well, in particular, Killarney and County Kerry offers fantastic roads, very similar to Donegal, I might add, but they offer fantastic roads and a fantastic challenge to the drivers. The rally has a sense of end of the season sort of thing, and you know, a lot of drivers tend to come here, get the rally in, a bit of a party on Saturday night and so on, but at the end of the day, it's all about the stages and the competition, and as you see, we're number one, Chris Meek's number two, Rob Dugan's number three, like they're very, very good drivers there, and you know, the fact that Chris has come to do this rally is an indication on how popular and how much in demand it is for drivers to come and do.
Absolutely, to have the likes of Meek there, World Rally star. I was looking up and apparently it's 16 years since he last competed in Ireland. 2009 Midland Stages Rally with Paul Nagel in a Renault Clio S1600.
Well, it just goes to show the versatility of Chris. Again, he's prepared to drive anything and he's more than capable as well when he drives. And look, you would have to say he's probably the man to beat on this rally in Killarney at the weekend, and you know, it's going to be a tall order for us to mix up with him, but nevertheless we'll be giving it our best shot. But Chris was here in 2007 we raced Chris here in the Rally of the Lakes International Rally to have here in Kerry, and fortunately we had a puncture in that rally and Chris went on to win. But anyway, it's good to reacquaint. Chris and me have been together quite a lot in the early days of the Bertie Fisher Toughmax Subaru team. Chris was our, if you like, tire man on them events, and he and I shared a lot of very good rallies and nice experiences up through the years, and you know, it's nice to come and compete against them here and have a bit of crack along the way as well.
Absolutely, and Noel O'Sullivan along with him, a four-time winner of Rally of the Lakes. Speaking of which, you must be getting old, Rory, 35 years since yourself and Bertie Fisher winning a famous Rally of the Lakes back in 1990.
My goodness, Chris, when you think about it like that, it really is. It feels like an eternity. But, you know, back in the day, we were in, believe it or not, the same BMW M3 back in 1990. Back then, it was a state-of-the-art rally car. It was the car to have. Austin McHale was here as well with a BM, and also the Russian brothers, the Bolsheviks. We all had pro-drive BMW M3s, and, you know, we had a fantastic battle back then. We came out on top. We won the rally, and also won the championship, which is a double success. But the cars have come full circle now, believe it or not, because 35 years later here, I'm back in Killarney, still competing in the BM with Donna Kelly. And as you know, Donna's a champion rally driver and has won the Rally of the Lakes too in the past. So, you know, a very formidable driver as well. And, you know, somebody I feel who can put up the challenge to the rest of these guys.
Big Donegal interest, of course. John O'Donnell and Paddy Robinson there at five. John Boner and John Michael O'Donnell there in a Ford Escort Mark II. And no doubt there'll be big numbers travelling down as well.
Oh, for sure. Like I say, the popularity and end of season rally that this is, tends to attract quite a lot of spectators as well. You mentioned John O'Donnell and Paddy Robinson. They're the reigning Irish Tarmac champions and they've had a fantastic year. And like John's speed has increased throughout the year, and again, he's somebody to be considering for the top step of the podium as well. So, look, John Boner is there in a very nice escort as well, and I'm sure John will give it his best shot too. But look, the Killarney Historic Rally is absolutely up there on the, you know, as far as rallies goes, it's right up at the top, and I've done quite a lot of historic rallies throughout Europe, and a lot of people talk about the Killarney Historic Rally and the level of organisation and the welcome from the Kerry people, and you know, the hotels, the restaurants, the pubs, the clubs around Killarney. It's really a fantastic place to be this time of year, and look, it's all about the rally for us, so we'll see what happens on Saturday morning at 8:30.
We've mentioned the quality of the field, another of the drivers taking part. We've a Belgian champion coming over.
Yes, we have Patrick Snyers coming, and Patrick Snyers is Belgian champion, and those rally purists will know he won the Manx Rally in 1988, driving the BMW M3 Pro Drive as well. In fact, that's the car that Bertie got directly after that rally, and we used to such good effect. But Paddy Snyers, very capable driver as well, and has rallied in Ireland in the past. He's very much rallied throughout Europe and champion rally driver. And coming here is it's a big addition to the rally, big attraction for the rally. And I can assure you one thing, he'd be somebody to be contending with as well. Like.
Now, tell us a little bit about the stages. How many are there, and any one in particular that would be your favourite?
Well, the rally consists of 9 stages, Chris. And the first stage of the rally, traditionally in Killarney, is Moll's Gap. And if anybody, I'm sure people know the name if they don't know the road. Like, it's a very famous famous road between Killarney and Kenmare. That's the first stage. It's almost 20 kilometres long. And it's a fearsome bit of road, I can assure you. And I've done it many, many, many times. And it's the biggest challenge in the rally. We do it first, and then there's 3 stages around the Kenmare region, done twice. And then later in the day, we do a reverse version of the Moll's Gap. And then what they do, the rally's regrouped then for an hour, and we do Moll's Gap in the darkness as well to finish. So in terms of a challenge, it's right up there. There's 106 kilometres of rallying, I think, in total throughout the day, and 50% of that is made up of Moll's Gap and its various directions and so on. So, look, it's a very challenging rally, I can assure you, a high-speed rally, and something the drivers sort of revere to do. Like.
That is Rory Kennedy speaking with Highland's Chris Ashmore, looking ahead to that Killarney historic rally taking place on Saturday. Staying with motorsport for now, Donegal's Kyle McBride has been announced as one of the 3 finalists for this year's Billy Coleman Award for the Young Rally Driver of the Year. Cian Caldwell and Casey J. Coleman are the other 2 finalists. The winner will be announced at the Champions of Irish Motorsport Awards next Wednesday in Dublin. McBride, of course, won the Junior British Rally Championship and the Stellantis Cup this year. It is a busy weekend on the local soccer front as well. The action is underway this evening with Letterkenny Rovers just underway against Castlefin in the Ulster Cup. That one is in Castlefin. And there are several more Ulster Cup games on Sunday. There are also games across all divisions of the Donegal Junior League and in a Shone Football League this weekend. Well, they are about to start the draw for the Ulster Provincial Championship for 2026. So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and hopefully I'll have the draw of who Donegal are up against and Derry and Tyrone and the rest of the draw before we go off air at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned. They've just drawn the first ball in the Ulster Provincial Championship, so we are about to find out who Donegal will play. We'll take a little bit of music. We'll be back with who Donegal will face in the first round of Ulster after this.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, the draw for the quarterfinals has been complete, and it is good news in terms of the draw for Donegal, as they've been drawn at home to Down in the quarterfinal of the 2026 Ulster Senior Football Championship. The preliminary round tie has thrown up an interesting one. Tyrone will face Armagh in that one, and they will play the winners of that game between Tyrone and Armagh in the preliminary quarter. The preliminary round fixture will play Fermanagh. It'll be Derry against Antrim at Celtic Park, and Monaghan have been drawn at home to Cavan. We will have that full draw available very, very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com, and you'll also be able to find out the path to the final. But for now, that is just about all we have time for on tonight's programme, which means that is it for another year here on The Score. We're taking a short winter break, but we'll be back in the new year better than ever. On behalf of the sports team here at Highland, I want to say thanks for listening all year. It's been great to have your company. Thanks to all our guests who make it possible, and most importantly to you, the listener. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher. If you missed any of tonight's show, it will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com, along with the draw for the Ulster Championship. Have a great evening. I'll talk to you all again soon, and your next sports update here on Highland will be during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Give the perfect gift this Christmas with a gift card from michaelmurphysports.ie.